Jeremy here. Just before we get into the show, wanted to give an update. We have a new tier on our Patreon. That is the Sheikah supporter tier. For $5 or more a month, you get a week early access to episodes, as well as getting to pick games that you play alongside us. Each month, people in this tier can pick a game that we'll play. We'll stream it on our Discord for everyone else to see. And it's been a lot of fun. We just played the Rogue Hero Ruins of Tassos game, which is this roguelike, Zelda-like game that is very similar to the old Four Swords games. It's very chaotic. It's very, very fun. If you want to join up in that, go to patreon.com/chatofthewild. If you can't afford that, we do still have the smaller tier. Just a reminder, people that join in that tier, they get ad-free episodes. They also get access to our side quests episodes, where once a month we record an episode just talking about all the other games that we have been playing. You also get to pick the games that we play in between Zelda games, what we call our Gaiden games, as well as getting a shout-out. If that sounds good to you, once again, go to patreon.com/chatofthewild. Sign up, support us. We really appreciate it. Anyways, that's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Triforce of Wisdom, Link. The evil wizard Ganon has the Triforce of Power. Whoever gets both Triforces will rule this land forever. You must help me, Link.
Hey, for you, Zelda, anything.
Hero.
Hey, excuse me, princess.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our special series reviewing the Legend of Zelda cartoon show. We just talked about it real quick, and we don't have a name for this series because it doesn't deserve one. I am introducing and hosting this episode because my name is Brian, and everybody looked at me. And so I started it up. How you doing? I am joined by Jeremy Harvey.
Hi.
And BC Nelson.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. I'm well, actually, if I'm being honest. Aside from all of this.
This wasn't nearly as offensive as the last two episodes. It was just boring and cliche.
And weird, almost. It kind of changed its own rules.
Yes, it does.
We cannot hold this by rules at this point. Like, let's just move on past that of being like, well, you said this. No, they don't care.
But it's in the opening of the show.
Like, not on mine.
He's trying to. Oh, I see it every time. He's trying to. Okay. You know, Ganon, the evil wizard Ganon, is trying to steal the Triforce of Wisdom. Not in these episodes. Not at least the ones we watched. This one.
He's trying to extort the Triforce of Wisdom. He's completely given up.
We'll get there. We'll get there. So this episode that we watched was The White Knight. It was written by Bob Forward, I believe. So far we've seen two writer credits, Bob Forward and Paul something. I can't remember. I don't know. It doesn't matter because Bob Forward is the guy that wrote most of these. And so if someone helped him out on a couple, sure.
So we get the He-Man crossover on this. Because we see the White Knight and he's got like this golden, he's just got this golden hair that just immediately look. I mean, you know, he's not wearing what He-Man wears.
Right.
But he's got the He-Man's face and hair. Hair color face. In general. Yeah.
He's a handsome man. But we cut on over to Link and Zelda, and they're just kind of hanging out in a town, not really doing anything in particular. They're talking about just how great it is to be a Hylian, and that even everyone knows a little bit. Everybody knows something, you know? It's pretty great, right?
A little bit of magic here.
Yeah. And that's why Ganon wants it.
Yeah, so that's where they said, like, Ganon wants Hyrule now. And because it has magic, does it get its magic from the Triforce being there?
Probably from that horseshoe that they were watching being made. Because it was a magical damn horseshoe. Yeah, so we get... Ganon, all of a sudden, here he is. He wants this. He's trying to take it away. I think Zelda says he's trying to take it away bit by bit or piece by piece. And they just happen to be there when some Zelda 2 enemies attack.
Is that who they were? Because I didn't recognize them.
See, that's going to be the thing, is that if we know what they are, they're from Zelda 1. If we have no clue what they are, they're from Zelda 2. And okay. That goes for me as well. And I like Zelda 2. So, all the names of Zelda 2 are pretty ridiculous. I think only Lizalfos and a couple other stuff carry on from there. We get some spiders later, too.
Yeah, these are tin suits.
Tin
was
suits?
It tin suits or tin knights or...
I wrote down tin suits.
Probably.
Yeah.
Tin is in the metal, not as in the number.
I think there's something interesting about this
show. I believe. I don't know.
Whereas, like, the tin suits show up as obviously like a mob of tin suits, a lot of the enemies that are, like, the more notable enemies are kind of just like a guy. Like, in the next episode we watch, there's, like, an enemy type that they just refer to him as if that is that dude's name. Like, they're just a guy named whatever. Yeah. And there's only one.
This fight also goes on forever.
It's so slow. I've said this so many times. When anyone, if I've ever talked to anybody about this series, it's that the fight animation is so slow. Like, they do, everyone's running at like half gravity on this, or they're underwater just trying to like, oh, I'm flipping over you.
Oh, it's so bad. A couple of dudes take about 20 seconds to move 5 feet, and one of them drops, what is it? They call it a ruby.
A ruby.
Oh, yeah.
So Link gets distracted by loot and gets caught, but he kicks Zelda a crossbow.
And it's by an Octorok.
Oh, he gets caught by the... Oh, yeah, that's right. The Octorok shows up here.
But he gets caught before that.
Okay.
Oh. It's so much going on, it's hard to keep up.
Oh, right. You know, like a mile a minute. Like, I can't, there's just so much information on screen. She runs out of arrows, but I guess because she's broke, or does she not have any rupees on her? She's the princess, so I figured she'd have some money.
This all goes by, like, some weird Buck Rogers rules where you can zap things with random items until you can't zap things with random items.
I'm out of zap energy. Hurry, rub the gun.
Yeah, but then even Link is like, even after it happens, Link is like, keep shooting! And she explains again that she can't.
It's just this Benny Hill situation where Link is ganged up on by these three tin suits, and then Zelda shoots a couple, and then he tries to run, and one grabs him, and then she shoots that one, and then the Octorok comes, and then the Octorok grabs him. It's just like over and over and over and over.
And also, they're all while that's all happening, they're also fighting over the money that's on the ground.
Yeah, that didn't make much sense to me, because at some point, a tin suit and an Octorok start fighting over one of the...
Yeah, they're the ones that dropped it.
Yeah, one of the rupees on the ground. And like Link just got, he lost his sword. He got thrown through a barn or something. And he comes back with a board, no nail through it, just a board.
He's dirty too. He fell into mud or something, and or pig slop or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up killing the Tensu by reflecting one of the Octorok's attacks. And then it's just this Octorok chase scene.
Well, he pulls out a rope.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Where did that come from?
The legendary Zelda item rope. He gets that out. Now, am I forgetting something from Zelda 2 where the rope was a big deal?
No.
The thing I thought was weird is he pulled the rope out of his, like, magic pouch where he shrinks things.
Yeah.
And you can just tie a rope to your waist. Like, you can have a lasso on your person. You don't.
He's
need
near
to
a farm.
To
You're telling
it.
Me there wasn't a rope nearby?
I mean, last time we saw him tie... When Link wants to tie things around its waist, he usually has to have another woman there to tie around his waist. Yeah, so they, I guess the money is still in play as the White Knight shows up. And he's got a magic shield. Well, I guess Link reflected it too. So he reflects Octorok's attack back at Octorok.
But then the White Knight just yeets his shield. Like, he's just like, get out of here. Don't need it.
I don't need you no more.
Like, why did you just toss your shield like that, dude?
I'll beat you up without my shield.
It's gonna get dirt on it.
It's true. See, that's important. Maybe there's a servant off screen the entire time who's here to help him. Yeah. So he shows up, finishes off the boss. Is like, that's my money now.
That's my $5.
Everyone fight. Yeah. I mean, I guess it is the 80s. You see a $5 bill on the ground, you'll slit someone's throat to get it. So. But Zelda's totally taken in by this guy, and his name is Prince Facade.
Yeah, they even have the little CD, like in the subtitles, they even have the little CD underneath Facade, so you know,
yeah.
The hard sod.
So I originally took this as like, oh, it's going to turn out that he's evil.
Right.
They're gonna be real heavy handed with that, but instead they're using like a different definition of it, where it is just sort of like the face.
Uh-huh.
It is just sort of like your presented self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would say he's a very pretty storefront on a pig slop business.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, she's totally into this. Also, he somehow turns the word Octorok into a two-syllable word. I was very impressed. It's like, I've killed the Octrok.
Yeah, in this episode, there's a couple pronunciations that I'm like, what are we saying here?
He's got room on his horse for Zelda. Zelda's just, you know, she's getting
Zelda,
in the Uber.
I like how smitten Zelda is, because she's just like, oh, he's a friend. I mean, an acquaintance. I mean,
we work together.
his name is Stink. Like, it's just this sick burn in front of this new guy here.
And like, and it land, and like, she knows it'll land, because Link is I mean, he's vain in different reasons. He's a I don't know. He's a sociopath. He's just very, very upset. Like this is the kind of stuff that will ruin him. Calling him Stink instead of Link. He's a very insecure boy. Ganon's into this. This whole thing happening somehow. The addition of a new hero.
He knows Prince Facade.
Right. But it's still a second adventurer. Now it's like, cool, I know how to get rid of him, but like, I'm not going to be excited by another obstacle.
Well, he's excited because he knows he can use him, that he's going to drive away Link.
Oh, right. Because Link, yes, is an insecure child, right?
And then he knows Prince Facade's weakness. So with Link out of the way and Prince Facade, basically,
we can get the Triforce of Wisdom, right?
Yeah. But
or take some pieces from Hyrule, whatever I feel like.
And you even get a little scene that kind of hints at what Facade's weakness is going to be, because he goes to shake Link's hand and he sees that his hand is like muddy or dirty from, you know, the battle that just ensued.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, yeah, no, I'm sure, it's cool to meet you. Gives him the old psych.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Right. I almost shook your hand as an equal, but then I saw you were dirty. Yeah. So Ganon's really here to conquer all of Hyrule. And yeah, so there we go. So Sprite's trying to get a peek at Link's Master Sword, because Link is dirty.
No.
Because Link was, you know, he's taking a bath now because he was after the fight, and he's trying to clean up.
He's in that wood basin,
right?
Sort of thing, like that old classic bowl, like half barrel looking thing, with, you know, with a long brush scrubbing his back. He's not in any fancy thing, right next to the Triforce.
Yeah,
like he's just like the Triforce is sitting there, just being like. He goes washing himself again.
Triforce is only concerned with wisdom. It doesn't have time for this. It doesn't care. So who gets Link these like Karnak the Magnificent clothes? Like, does Sprite
they
pick
just
them
have,
up
he
for
just,
him?
Sprite picked them
they
up.
Just
but
have
he doesn't
them there.
Say where Sprite got them.
And she didn't pick these. He was like, go get this exact outfit for me or something. Because no one's here for this outfit except for Link.
Now they do show there's some terms that they use though that I wanted to just throw out real quick. That
okay.
Sprite does refer to Zelda as a snoot.
A snoot.
Which I had to think about that because. Of course, in the modern meme age, a snoot is a dog's nose. But now, like, I looked it up, and it's like, oh, it's like snooty. Someone who looks down on other people, right?
Yeah, we have to...
So that's all she was saying. Though, at first, when I heard her, she just goes, Zelda's a snoot. And I was like, wait, what'd you just say?
Did
you just call Zelda?
We have to go to, like, a suburban flight dictionary for a lot of these terms. It's just like 1950s lingo.
Mm-hmm.
So Link gets all dressed up, goes on in. The king is like, oh, he's charmed by the White Knight, of course.
Is this the first time we saw the king?
Mm-hmm.
Is this okay. The first episode? Okay. King. What's his name? It's
Daphnis.
Harkonnen. Something like that. King Harkonnen or something like that. He thinks the White Knight's great. He's eaten up his story about doing it single-handedly all by himself. I mean, do you think Zelda would be upset by that? Zelda helped out a lot.
Yeah. Well, Zelda is just smitten by his looks, doesn't care about anything else.
Right.
She's in like this different, nicer gown that we haven't seen her in before. Mm-hmm. It's not her adventure wear. And so they're having like this nice dinner where she's introducing him to her father and all of this.
And Link's like, you never let me have dinner with your father. You never invited me to dinner with the family. He storms in his goofy outfit and trips over everything, and everyone just rips him a new one because he deserves it right here. He's being an idiot.
He's deserved it so many times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Especially this time.
Especially, like, in this moment. Like, people are going to laugh. And, you know, he does not handle it well because he's an awful, awful character. And so...
Well, look, okay, so this was actually a moment where I was like, okay, there's actually some humanity here. Because we do see for a second where Zelda's just like, maybe I'm being a little too mean to him. But then she looks back at Facade and is just like, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, humanity on Zelda's part. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were going to say.
No, but even for Link, even I'll give this for Link. Like, you know, you could be in these situations where you are humiliated.
Uh-huh.
You know, you were trying to do something. He doesn't understand these things, obviously. If he's getting this stuff put onto him to look like royalty, we all know that it doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah.
He doesn't because he was raised in the wilds, you know, and as far as we know, like, he grew up in the forest.
He likes,
and he doesn't know these things, but he likes this girl.
Yeah, he said at the beginning, and he likes sleeping in muck. He doesn't want to be sleeping up in the yeah. tower with the Triforce.
He just wanted to try to play along with what was going on, and he was mocked for it. Mm-hmm. And you can relate to that in a way, right? Like, there's so many things that, like, Link has done that is just stupid and, like, is so cringy and is just wrong flat out, and we'll tell him that. But, like, this single moment of him feeling humiliated because he just wanted to be part of this group is like, all right, there's some humanity for both Link and Zelda in that.
Speaking of stupid and wrong and embarrassing, Link's horse is named Catherine. So there we go.
We don't know that this is his horse.
Well,
this is just a horse named Catherine.
Okay, fine. He knows a horse named Catherine. Or he calls all horses Catherine.
No, again, forest boy. He talks to a bunch of animals. Okay. He knows all the animals around Hyrule.
Every horse this I one's meet Catherine. From now on is going to be named Catherine.
It's yeah. So I guess we could say the Legend of Zelda cartoon series has a horse named Catherine.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
They ride off. Link quits. He does not want to be keeping evil from taking over the world anymore. So yeah, Ganon, master of puppets here. So he's got rid of one. He's got rid of Link. Now he's going to get rid of the White Knight.
Which, here's another term. Ganon calls him a vain braggart.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, braggart is not a word that we use. Brag, which is basically the same, it's the origin of this, is like someone who... We know what brag means. Someone who only talks about their accomplishments and nothing else. And it's like, yeah, that still describes him. But I don't know if I've heard the term braggart before.
Is it like...
Oh, I've played enough D&D and read enough fantasy novels to have heard the term braggart once or twice.
Is that a like Shakespeare term? I feel like either that or Tolkien or something. I don't know.
I can see either both those using it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes and makes his move, right? Because Zelda's totally taken in by this guy, and all of a sudden the Octoroks show up again.
Uh-huh.
And Zelda gets kidnapped by Azora? Is that what we're meant to...
Yes.
Zola.
But at some point, Link is fighting this, and he keeps calling it Azola. And I'm wondering if it was the voice actor just pronouncing the R wrong.
Well, I think that's like that's a common translation thing of like the R and the L sounds when anything's going from Japanese. But
I mean, especially if you're going from Japanese. But we already knew, we already had an English for this was a Zora, unless there was some other book that they had as their Bible for this that said that one thing got translated wrong. I don't know. It's weird. Well, you're right, BC. R and L's do get mixed up a lot in that, but this is just a weird time for that to be happening.
Yeah.
I mean, we
to
also
my
called
earlier
the
point. He refers to him almost as if that is that monster's specific given name.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to regret this, Zola. Like, they all know Zola. That's the dude. So, like, not one of many. He's just that guy named Zola.
This guy trashed his lawn last time they fought. Well, he also refers to a rupee as a ruby earlier, so you know it could just be the writers not knowing at all what's happening. So yeah, out the window goes Zelda. White Knight follows along, and the Zola takes a heads into a patch of mud, I guess.
A swamp,
and,
if you will.
Yeah, therefore defeating the White Knight.
And he just gives up immediately. It's so funny the way he's just like, well, sorry, can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's like a... like a Activision Blizzard HR guy. Like, sorry, lady, that sucks. Good luck to you. Good luck on your future endeavors. Link shoots the Zora with a gun, which kills him. And
well, he just runs up there, jumps right into the swamp.
Yeah,
has no problem.
Yeah, he heard her scream and comes running. Zelda says thank you. Link looks like he's going to kill her, and then he kind of softens up and helps her up. Got like stands there with angry face, like, is Link gonna do something? And then no, I don't know why they built that tension into that scene. Like, is Link evil now? But and then he smiles and helps her up. So yeah, the White Knight is like, oh well, you understand, right? Like, I'm glad you're okay. I couldn't do anything about that. You know, I couldn't go in the mud. I'm sorry. I'm glad you're all
right. You know how adventurers be.
Yeah.
But then yeah, then Zelda shoves him in the mud, and then he drops the ruby.
And
Link picks it up,
yeah.
And he's like, ha.
This is what it was about the whole time. And he just kind of sits there and shrugs, like, turns to the camera, like, womp, womp.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode, guys.
Do the Mario swing
your arms from side to side. So you get to see that at the end of every episode.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I just know.
Okay. See, yeah, okay. I get to see the intro for sure. Not always the not always the credits.
No, I don't get any of the good part. Like, I just get the fat in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That's all I get.
Yeah. Ah, so yeah, that is that's the White Knight. Just a mess. It's two really long fight scenes. And a bunch of boring stuff in the middle. So yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you also for not watching this show. Please continue to like, subscribe to us, and to not watch this show. And we'll be back.
Unlike and unsubscribe from the Zelda animated series.
This is a public service we're doing, everyone. So we love you very much. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. Thank you for making this series possible, and we will see you on the next episode of us talking about this show.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Dunn, and I'm inviting you to listen to Our 3 Cents, a weekly podcast where myself and two of my very best gaming chums are counting down our top 100 favorite video games of all time. For all the episodes and information, check out our website, www.our3cents.co.uk.
On the Super Nintendad's Entertainment Podcast, catch us grumbling about the news every Monday on the Morning Dadcast, chatting with industry professionals, and most importantly, teaching our kids just how incredible or horrible 80s and 90s video game and pop culture truly was.
All right, what else you got?
A Sega Slingshot.
Don't have a cow, man.
The blast processing was really fast. Why can Knuckles fly even?
Tide Prawn Dough.
What does that even mean?
Samurai Pizza Cats. Gabe, we almost named you Guido Anchovy.
Doing a Belvedere
requires a set of low hangers.
I'm gonna die!
Right here on Greenlit.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild Special Edition Bonus Season, where we watch The Legend of Zelda, the animated series from 1989. Unfortunately, the only Zelda animated series we've gotten so far.
Yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and say, let's not roll the dice on this ever again.
Yeah, I mean, good news is, anything they did after this would be better. Bad news is, it'd probably still be bad.
It's, okay, we are in a time right now where there is a Mario movie coming out, and we know the people that are going to be voicing it, and most video game fans are unhappy about it, and the reality is, we were going to be unhappy about it regardless, because we don't want a Mario movie, we just want Super Mario Odyssey 2.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah. Or Galaxy 2 on Switch. Or
Super Mario RPG 2.
Not a Donkey Kong game.
No.
Don't want that.
I think the time has come for Donkey Kong RPG, but that's me personally.
I'm here for that.
Sure,
I will play that.
What's stopping you? Just do it, Nintendo.
Cowards.
In this timeline, we do have a Legend of Zelda animated series.
Yeah, what timeline are we in? I forget.
The bad one.
BDG totally placed this somewhere, right?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I forget.
I'm talking about our own timeline. I mean, it's not the worst, but it's far from the best.
Yeah.
So, for this episode, I am joined by Brian Auer.
Hi.
BC Nelson.
Hey.
And I'm the host for this episode, Jeremy Harvey. We are going to talk about the episode Kiss and Tell. Not Kiss and Tell, Kiss and Tell.
It's not as cringy as you think it's going to be with a name like Kiss and Tell. But
yeah.
Considering the trajectory of this series so far, it is much better than I hoped.
Yeah.
Right. Spoilers, we don't have to hear Link go, "Well, excuse me, princess," so that makes it possibly the best episode we've watched so far.
Yeah.
That's the rating that I'm going with on here. We also start this episode with Zelda doing a solo adventure, which is something we've all wanted for a while.
Yeah.
Well, and again, we have gotten that. It wasn't good. Maybe we'll get it again, but it's actually going to be good.
You mean the game where we get to play as Zelda?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, she's really annoyed with Link that Link isn't here.
Well, because he's napping. He's lazy.
She's annoyed with him when he is there, though.
Yeah, but like, probably because he can just take a nap and still keep his job or something.
But, well, we also will find he's not really napping. Zelda hears a noise somewhere, and we cut over to this brunette woman tied to a rock, screaming, "Oh, help me! Won't some adventurer help me?"
Some handsome adventurer.
Mm-hmm.
A handsome adventurer, sure.
None to be had.
And we see Gliok is standing right in front of her, looking like he's about to eat her.
Zelda's like, "It's too bad Link's not here, because this is the sort of thing that he loves."
Yeah. Beautiful girls in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's Link's favorite thing. And we do get a little bit
Is it more about the imprisonment that he likes, or?
I'm not getting into that. We then see that this maiden is talking to Gliok, starts insulting Gliok, and Gliok is just like, "Hey, that's mean." And then Gliok tells her to stay on script, and then she says like, "Look, I'm improvising. We just got to get this done." And then we quickly find out that she is just bait.
Yeah.
And then when Zelda shows up, they're just like, "Well, we weren't expecting Zelda. We were expecting Link. Oh, we'll work with it."
Mm-hmm.
But then also, like, we'll get into whatever Ganon's plan is with this and how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
And if it would ever actually work anyway. But then we get a fight sequence with Zelda where she just chucks fruit, all different kinds of fruit. And
yeah,
she's got fruit puns the whole time to go with each thing. They're just like, "Oh, that gives me heartburn. See, now I'm breathing fire."
Yeah.
Even though I was breathing fire beforehand.
Yeah. You think Gliok's three heads are all throwing these terrible one-liners around? It's abysmal.
And I don't mm-hmm. know if it's the director or the editor. It's both, but
yes,
someone should have done something about, like, the dragon voice actor needs to tighten it up, because he is just letting his delivery hang out there, you know? How are you, by the way? It's just, come on, dude. Come on, pick it up.
Yeah, that would have saved the show.
No.
In the middle of it, like, as she's just, like, throwing fruit at this fire-breathing dragon.
Is that Gliok an item goes, I missed in Zelda 2, the fruit basket?
Fruit basket? Yeah. No, Zelda had it the whole time. Link
didn't have it. Right. She was napping. It was turned to stone along with her or something.
But at some point, this stuck out to me, where Gliok was like, no fair. And it's like, what? Fair? She's throwing fruit at you and you're a giant dragon.
It's not fair. You know, even the damsel's like, you're doing this wrong, okay? You can't be a hero. You're not the hero that I need right now. You're like, this isn't fair. This isn't part of the plan. Even though Ganon says, like, Gliok says Ganon's plan is working perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, is it though?
It's always working. It always is. Regardless of what it is, it always works perfectly.
She knocked you out with a piece of citrus. Like,
well, so Link shows up, and he's just like, I've been here this whole time, in a way. Like, he's just standing there doing hero pose. And then, you know, the maiden's like, oh, there he is. He's so handsome. And, you know, and then he goes and fights Gliok. We see him bounce around on there. Gliok uses his fire, the two on the sides, spit fire on the middle one, and singes the top of its head. Comedy.
And then Link shoots him with his gun, and then it's over.
Link uses his laser sword gun and sends the head. Do you think at some point the heads were just floating around in the evil jar?
No, it shows the whole dude's head. They show a wide shot of all three of Gliok.
But before, in the moment when only the necks on the side.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like. Ganon's just going to be standing there and just like watching his evil jar, just being like, nobody better show up in this evil jar.
Is that what he does all day? Just like, oh, man. Oh, no, we got hit by a cart.
Yeah. He's just always staring at crystals.
Yeah.
Just being like, whatever happens, he has no idea what's going to happen, but he always responds the same way. Ah, my plan is coming together. With every single thing that happens. Just Link sitting on the toilet. He's like, yes,
indigestion. Yes.
But as they're fighting, the maidens talk about how great he is, and then Zelda just like pulls up a banana because she still has some fruit left over. She's like, whatever, eats a banana, tosses the banana peel, and that causes Gliok to like fall over and gives Link the opportunity to do like the killing blow on him. Even though it's like Link didn't have any problem, but up until this point, then he just wanted to play around with Gliok before he finished him off.
This is a match 3 Zelda game with fruit somewhere in here. I know it. There's got to be something. Is this what Tetris Trackers is?
Don't wish that evil upon us, Brian.
Link gets he gets his kiss, though.
Yeah, after all of this, the maiden just says, oh, thank you so much. Here, let me give you a kiss. And then Link, being a sleazebag, is just like, see, this is how you treat a hero, yeah. Zelda.
Yeah, pay attention, princess. You could learn something. That's what I like to hear.
So weird.
But he gets his kiss, and then there's just an explosion. And then they both transform, and it takes a second to realize, like, for me at least, to realize, like, okay, what happened here? There's two creatures here now. What is going on?
Uh-huh.
Where we do see a Gibdo. Shows up here. The Gibdos are the mummy characters. They look so
lovable, huggable buddies.
So yeah, it's just so cartoony looking. I mean, I know it's a cartoon, but like compared to the realistic design of so many other things, this one still just looks like a big plush thing. It's got a blue face in the middle of it, but it still has like that. It still has like a woman's face, and it still is talking the same way.
I'm like, ha ha, gotcha.
But then also Link has been turned into a frog.
Yay!
And not like a frog, like an anthropomorphic frog.
For the frog, the bell tolls! Yes!
All right.
Here we are. Yeah. We've come full circle.
Now, Link has some problems here, but only here, in that he can't pull out his sword for some reason. His hands are... Well, he doesn't know how his hands work. So he, like, couldn't get his items or his sword, and he couldn't fight this Gibdo.
Well, I mean, you know, to be fair, Zora Link can't use the gilded sword. So, you know, this is canon.
I'd also like to think that if I suddenly had frog hands, I wouldn't be able to Like, I wouldn't be able to use items either if I suddenly had frog hands in real life.
All right, whatever. Zelda takes care of Gibdo by pulling its wrapping off.
Yeah.
Though shouldn't have turned into a Staphos then?
It should have. But usually in those Bing Crosby, Bob Hope movies, when you unfurl the mummy, it's just dead. So that's the trope we're going for here, is old cartoons and crap.
But then we cut to back at Ganon's lair, and everyone's in the evil jar. He goes, ah, yes, my plan is working
He's
perfect.
So happy. Like,
he just says that for everything.
Perfect. Everything's coming up, Ganon.
It would have been great if that's all he ever said. At any moment, every time Link beats him or whatever, it cuts over to Ganon going, ah, my plan is working perfectly. And it's just like, the whole series is just, you're just like, what is his plan?
This is like,
what is the game here?
It's analogous to Ganon in the games doing his evil laugh. It's like, that's all he ever says is, and this one, he's just going on and on about his plans. Link is now rendered effectively ineffective, so Ganon is free to capture Zelda again.
Except against flies.
Well, don't send bugs at him.
It's important to remember in this episode, because he's a frog now, he keeps eating bugs. So Ganon sent more creatures
to go get Zelda.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like,
right.
He's
Ganon
just like,
just
all right,
shows up.
I'm here.
Right. Because they were about to, like, they were talking together, and then Ganon's just like, ha, finger laser.
Yeah.
And then just like shoots at him.
Has he done that before?
I don't think so.
He's going to do it again.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely going to do it again. Yeah, that's for sure. So is this the first time Link involuntarily eats a bug? Because he gets them, they throw...
Well, so what happens is that Link, because he's a frog, he doesn't have control over himself either right now.
Right.
And he ended up jumping way too high. I think he jumped out of the way of the laser and jumped way too high and hit the tree and knocked himself out.
Okay.
So he's just, like, knocked out. But I believe it's when he wakes up, there's a bug going around him, and then he just eats it. I believe that's the first bug he ate, where he was just like, ooh, gross. Actually, never mind. It's not that bad.
I'm kind of okay with the bug eating humor. It's an easy joke, but they pull it off.
Okay, another correction here at this moment, because this show is just so weird. The bugs that he eats are these red spiders that Ganon put on him, but then Link calls them red dealers?
Yeah.
Yeah, he calls them red dealers.
Yeah, Zelda 2.
But then they also just refer to him as spiders later on.
Yeah. Well, because no one knows the name of Zelda 2 enemies, so they're just like, ah, they're the spiders. We'll just,
right.
You know, you say it, you got to say it once.
Yeah, I guess. And you know what? Outside of the few times they say it wrong, props to them for making sure that they include all this stuff in the series.
Sure, but then they don't get that they're called red dealers because red dealers are the easy type. And blue dealers are the harder type, and then maybe orange dealers, I don't know. Or maybe the blue ones are the easy type. I forget how this works. But just like with the other Zelda bosses, the Octoroks, you've got red and blue Octoroks, hard, easy. Everything's got a color to it. For some reason, they just kept the red. They said, send the dealers at him.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
They're sort of doing their homework, I guess.
Link needs to figure out what he can do at this point, because he can't really do, at this moment, he can't really do much other than eat bugs.
Yeah, he just goes home.
He goes to find Sprite, and he's like covered in a giant blanket looking thing, trying to cover his face. Though it's funny, like he gets there and he says, don't look at me, don't turn around and look at me. And at that time he puts the like a hood over him. And then almost immediately just...
Are you ready to look at me?
I look like a monster. Here, look at me. Which I get. I mean, yeah. If you're in this situation, you need to be like, all right, I need to talk to you first. I need you to know what's going on. But it just still goes so quick compared to everything else.
Yeah.
Where he's suddenly in his room saying, don't turn around. Turn around. Don't look at me. Look at me.
Well, Sprite is the most likely to accept Link for whoever he is. So yeah.
Sure. But then Link does go and involuntarily eat a bug around him.
But,
which, again, yeah.
Yeah.
I would be terrified of Sprite, right?
Yeah,
like, if he's saying, I can't control this, I keep eating things that fly around me, here, come help me. You're going to be like, no.
And that becomes a running joke to almost, like, they just beat that joke into the ground that Sprite is afraid of getting eaten.
She gives away their position at some point. Also, the scene starts, she is in his room because she wants to clean it again. Like, I mean, I don't know what this was also written by the guy who did the spring cleaning episode, or that was the framing device for that. So I don't understand what he's got about cleaning, but he's really into it. Also, the Triforce of Wisdom comes with just some really, really weak game here.
It's just so long.
the second two technically rhyme, but like after they lead off with that first one, and I'm just like, no, those aren't. You didn't get it.
But basically it says that we need to go talk to the Witch of Walls.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, is that a Zelda 2 thing? Wall Witch?
No, I think this is just more, it has to do with the like ridiculously esoteric hints that the NES games gave you. Like it's up by the tree, you know, because we get some of the dead end by the tree stuff.
Well, so they say, okay, the wall that doesn't end. And so they go, they find this wall, and they're like, this is the longest wall in Hyrule, which happens to just, like, be outside somewhere. Like, they're just real close to it.
I know this.
And then they get to the end. Yeah, they get to the end, and they're just like, no, see, it doesn't end. It goes into the ground. I'm just like, what does that mean?
That means there's a secret
wall underground.
What do
you mean it goes into the ground?
Yeah.
Did it just go straight down through the middle of the earth?
Yes.
Like, doesn't end, baby.
Keeps going.
All wall, all the way down.
The flawless logic.
And then right next to it is a tree made of like
ironwood
or something
tree.
Like that. An ironwood tree that it cannot bend no matter how hard you try.
The bough will not break. And then
they just stand there.
Stained glass lady like, jumps out at him.
But yeah, he just goes, well, but where's the Witch of the Walls? Did someone say Witch of Walls? And then she just comes out of the wall. Hi, I'm the Witch of the Wall.
What's
it's not
that?
Like. And then she shows up and they ask her, like, okay, what can I do about this? And then she just says the most cliche thing. Well, you got turned into a frog.
Uh-huh.
You have to be kissed by a princess.
She also compliments Ganon. She says, Ganon's a weirdo, but at least he does good magic. He knows the class.
She admires his work.
Yes.
Also adds the caveat that it has to be of her own free will.
Consent, consent, consent.
Yeah. That's good. We need to put this kind of structure on Link.
Yeah. But then the witch is like, anyways, I gotta go. I got things to do.
I got wall to be.
I'm just gonna go stick back in this wall again.
Wow.
What kind of life is that? This is so stupid. This is one of the stupidest things in this show so far to me. So then they're like, all right, we figured this out. We got to save the princess now because I need her to kiss me.
Uh-huh.
We wrote, like, I don't, like, the order of operations is now just weird. We haven't, like, figured out what we need to do to save the day. We still have to go to where Zelda is. And so Link sneaks, we just eventually cut to Ganon talking to Zelda about how he is keeping her as hostage now and is negotiating. The only thing he wants in exchange is the Triforce.
Right. So he's given up on, now that Link and Zelda are out of the castle, he has given up on sending guys into the castle to get that. Because usually when he goes into the castle, usually Link and Zelda are there to stop him. So we wouldn't want to do that.
All he has to do is distract Link and Zelda somewhere else, and then send another character to go get the Triforce.
There we go.
That's it.
That's it. We're good. He's got both obstacles out of the way now.
But instead, he's going to do negotiations with the king.
Also, he wants a kiss now.
Does he miss that?
Yeah. He wants the Triforce and a kiss.
Yeah.
Ugh.
This gets really weird because she screams, which then we cut over to Link, who is upside down frog climbing, and he hears her scream, and he's like, "Hey, that sounds like Zelda. We got to figure out where that scream came from." And then he eats a bug near Sprite, and she screams. But then they keep talking for like 30 seconds. And then we cut back to Ganon after 30 seconds. He goes, "Huh?" And like, "What was that?"
Like, "Don't tell me Link is here."
I was like, "What is
he? Is that my plan working perfectly?"
I was like, "What is he reacting to? Nothing happened." I guess he's reacting to what happened 30 seconds ago. Like, all you got to do is cut in like him going, "Huh?" And then you can have your stupid bug joke, but they really had to put that bug joke in there. Like, you know, it's really important to this episode.
But so Link shows up, and while Ganon is in a different area, Link sneaks his way in, and he's holding his sword, all this stuff. Like, honestly, I feel like over time, him being a frog might be better for adventuring, right? Like, if he can jump real high, if he's got a tongue, as long as he can like use his sword gun,
yeah,
that was all he needed.
I'm in. Let's go with the dragon's trap here. We'll be a frog for a while. I'm down.
Sure. But he explains to Zelda all this stuff of like, "Oh, I need a kiss," and you know, and Sprite is like basically backing him up of just being like, you know, "Yeah, this is how it needs to be done," all of that. And then as she's like, "Okay, I guess." And as she's about to do it, then Ganon comes in with the finger guns again.
Ba-bam!
Pa!
Looking at you, buddy.
And knocks Link out again. And is, you know, about to just take Zelda back, do all that stuff. But then Sprite is like, "Oh, you poor thing.
You've been through so much today. Let me just tell you, it's going to be all right."
Kisses him on the cheek, because we will later, and he transforms back, because we will later find out that Sprite is the princess of the fairies.
Right. Well, her dad's at least the king of the fairies.
Why didn't she say that before?
I don't know.
Because it would have made sense, Jeremy.
I don't know. Link says something about like rocking or something like that, and then blows up the ground underneath Ganon.
Yeah, he's got his gun back, so he shoots him down a pit. But because we're in the underworld, he's like, "Hey, he's gonna blink back any second now. We gotta go."
Well, he first shoots like some kind of like a tarp thing above him, some tapestry, and puts it on top of him where Ganon is just like struggling to just be like, "Hey, where'd you go?
You know,
this isn't working perfectly."
A net is a death sentence. So,
but yeah, then he blows up the ground underneath him. Ganon is falling for what looks like forever. We don't know how far the underworld goes down, but then they're just like, "We got to get out of here before he shows back up." And I'm just like, you can take care of Ganon down here. Like, just keep doing that. Go grab the Triforce and you win, right? Like,
this is true. Last time there was no time to grab it because the hall was collapsing.
Yeah.
But this time.
Yeah. Well, luckily it's rebuilt.
But they run out of here. Ganon is looking out over him and he's just like, "I'll get you next time.
Curse you. The plan went perfectly. Curse you."
And then they're back up front, and then we, of course, go through the thing again of Link being like, "Oh, give me a kiss." And this time she's like, one of the few times she's just like, "Okay, sure." And then a fly comes around and he grabs it out of the air and shoves it in his mouth. Link is, and
like you do.
And then Zelda's just like, "That's gross."
Like, what?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba.
But it's a learned reflex.
Yeah.
And that wraps up this episode of Kiss and Tell of the Legend of Zelda animated series.
I've got some staff highlights for this one real quick, if I could run through that.
Do it.
All right. We're talking about Bob Forward this week. He didn't direct this, but he was basically in charge of all the episodes for writing. Bob Forward seems to be a interesting man. His own website, bobforward.com, says Bob Forward is a, and then in parentheses, yes, Bob refers to himself in third person. So that's up on the internet, and that's a current feeling or belief or habit of this person. Anyway, he wrote for a lot of Deke shows, did He-Man, the Masters of the Universe, and She-Ra and stuff like that. So yeah,
I mentioned He-Man in the last.
That's
episode.
True. So we're sort of in that. He's got a writing credit on Cops, and I thought it was going to be the show Cops, but I forgot there was some really bad cartoon that ran for like a season called Cops, and maybe they were robots or something. I don't know. But
was it C.O.P.S.?
No, dots, just all capitals. I think what is the terrible show have an exclamation point at the end or something? Maybe this show is why. It's like right around the same time. But yeah, on Captain Planet, on a bunch of Deke stuff, and then Tattooed Teenagers from Beverly Hills, Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills, one of the Saban ripoff Power Rangers type shows. That one was real tongue in cheek and also pretty problematic because there were teenagers saying weird stuff. So Bob Forward, interesting writer. He did make a couple really good shows at Disney Animation. There was the Buzz Lightyear Star Command cartoon that I remember actually being kind of good. And I forget what the other one was. Young Hercules, which is way better than the actual movie. So just really awful budget. So this guy's been around, but he basically, the story of him writing on the show is the Mario Brothers portion included animation, also live action, four times the amount of episodes. The production was basically focused on that, and they left this dude alone to write this show and pretty much have limited input on what he did. And the director read all of it and was just like, I am down with all of this. And so basically this guy had creative control over the writing. And so he sets the tone for the terrible stuff we've gone through, I guess. So that's Bob Forward. I think he made this show for himself, because I don't know who else it would be for. That says a lot about
great
Bob Forward. Third person. Remember, third person, Bob Forward.
Well, thank you for that, Brian.
Yeah.
That'll wrap up this episode. The next episode we're going to be watching is Sing for the Unicorn.
Yes.
So, again, don't watch along with us. Just wait till this episode comes out. We'll talk about
it. Don't even tell them what episode's next.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, God. All right.